Welcome to the Start, Scale, Succeed podcast with me, your host, Nicole Higgins, the buyer and retail coach, sharing tips, advice, and insight from entrepreneurs that have just launched to multi-million pound business owners. We will be discussing the challenges they faced, advice they would give, and the milestones they achieved and how they got there. Also joining me will be a broad range of experts with some tips and practical how-tos, episodes that will help your business grow and to enable you to live the life you crave. The types of experts that you'll hear from will be those that you will find beneficial as you start and scale your business, from branding and social media experts to mindset coaches in PR and marketing. There will also be solo episodes from me discussing a variety of topics from sourcing to maximizing the profit in your business. Welcome to this week's podcast episode of Start, Scale, Succeed. Today, I am chatting with May Castillo, content creation strategist, all about selling in stories. May, thank you very much for joining me today.
Nicole, thank you so much for this invitation. I'm so happy to be here.
I know, I've been following you for a while because I really loved the very clear advice you give that's very actionable and really easy to understand, and that everyone can do, whether they're a product-based business or a service-based business, and which is why one of the reasons I wanted you to come on the podcast. And I have bought, you have some courses on selling in stories, which I've bought myself. And that's what I really wanted to bring you on today to talk about selling in stories, because I think from a product business point of view, it's an area that people neglect or dip in and out of and don't really have a strategy around it. But before we go into that, I'd like to just, if you can talk about a little bit about your background and what it is that you do.
Absolutely. So I've been working with content creation around multiple aspects for the past 5 years. I started off as a videographer, and then after that, quickly, I jumped into coaching, consulting, education, because my background initially is in education. I used to be a teacher back in Brazil. After being a teacher for so long, I actually became an engineer, but that's a story for another day. And then I decided to bring this background in education that I had, combined with my analytical aspect, and then combined with my content creation knowledge. And it just made so much sense to move into consulting education. And I really found a passion in creating courses that help, like you said, people from all niches and all areas, be them product business owners, services, or coaches, to create better content. My focus is primarily on Instagram, but I also help people with their emails, with TikTok, wherever they are that they need to create content. That's where my expertise comes in.
And I've seen as well, and a lot of things that you share is how you've applied these results to yourself as well, and how you've seen your own growth and your own journey. So you've lived and breathed your advice, I suppose, and seen the results, which is great. So let's start at the beginning then. If you are selling in stories, what are the strategies that you should have in place? What are the foundations that you should have in place?
The very first foundation that a lot of people neglect, that a lot of people don't pay attention to, is actually not being afraid to sell and understanding the different strategies that come with selling in general. This is why, for example, in the course that you mentioned, the Selling with Instagram Stories course, the very first class that I teach are sales strategies. Because without these specific sales strategies, and I tailored them to Instagram stories, it's not possible to make sales anywhere. So people that, the one of the reasons why so many business owners enjoy my course and get results from it is because we start off by teaching sales, and then we move on to teaching, okay, now let's get those sales strategies and let's apply them to your launches. Let's apply them to specific sequences. Let's apply them to the different stories or storylines that we can use when selling on Instagram stories. So really, we need to learn how to sell before we sell on stories, which sounds very silly, but a lot of people, I still hear a lot of people, primarily women, say, I feel like I'm bothering my audience when I sell. I feel so icky when I sell. I don't want to sound salesy. And that's very harmful to any business in the long term.
And for people that are feeling that way, what has been your advice, or what ways have you seen people overcome that?
Brilliant question. Actually, there are two things that we need to work on. One of them is the technical aspect, which is what we touch on inside SIS, selling with Instagram stories. And the second aspect is more of the emotional aspect. We need to understand that our products, our offers are not there to bother people. They are there to provide them solutions. If you believe in your offers, if you believe in what you are doing, this shouldn't be seen as something that's stopping you. But I know that sometimes we do feel this way. So what I always tell people is to think about somebody that sells extremely well. And I don't mean somebody that is super famous, somebody that is super popular. I mean somebody that you know personally that sells extremely well. And every time you are going to sell something from now on, try to invoke that person and ask yourself, what would they do in this situation? How would they react? How would they behave? And would they feel icky? Would they feel like they're bothering people? Probably not. Try to invoke them. And then slowly that confidence that that person has, that way of thinking that that person has that is close to you becomes natural to you. This is what I've done. As you say, I live and breathe my own strategies. This is what I've done from the start. And now selling feels so natural to me, whereas before it really didn't.
Yeah. And what difference are you seeing on Instagram with stories versus static posts and carousels? And I know personally, I go to stories first in terms of what people are doing, and then I check out the post, or then I check out their profile. Is that what is happening with everybody else?
That's a brilliant insight into consumer behavior because even Adam Mosseri said earlier this year, he posted something on Threads that said consumer behavior or the way people are consuming content has changed. People are moving more towards the DMs, messaging their friends, messaging people they know, watching stories, as well as using the notes. Right, the little notes function. Whereas before it was the focus was a lot on the feed and reels and carousels. So we are seeing this shift to the more connection side of things rather than the broad entertainment or more the like a clearer break between both than before. So that is a consumer trend. But also, what I always say to my clients and to my students is that your feed is there to attract new eyeballs, to get people into your world. So the more of your feed that you're using to sell, the less reach you are getting. So if you are not using your feed to sell, you need to use other channels to sell. Your Instagram stories, maybe funnels that you're going to be creating, Instagram lives, a podcast, anything else that you can include on top of your feed to free up your feed to bring new eyeballs is the best thing you can possibly do for your strategy.
And how important is the sequence of the stories? Talk me through what an ideal story sequence would look like if you were, we'll do a couple of different examples, but say if you were selling a product.
Absolutely. So, for people that don't know what a story sequence is, this is the methodology I teach inside my course. And a story sequence essentially is a sequence of events that you're going to be telling throughout the day to take a person from, let's say, a viewer that doesn't know nothing about a certain topic to somebody that is fully involved in that narrative that you are telling. So, instead of us trying to cram everything into one story, we are going to divide this throughout the day to take people on a journey with us. So one of my favorite ways to sell is by telling a client story, a client transformation story. And this can be used for product businesses, service providers, and even coaches. So how has your product or your offer transformed your client? Say, for example, you sell hairbrushes. You're going to be talking about the fact that, say, for example, you had a client whose child absolutely hated getting their hair done in the morning because it hurt any and all hairbrushes that they've tried hurt their scalp. Kids have very sensitive scalps. And then they talk about how they developed the product, that they developed the product especially for kids, especially to fight that. And then you talk about clients that are using it. You show client testimonials. You show people that are sharing their results. Maybe even just little DM crops or conversation crops. They can be anonymous as well. And then all of a sudden you're into call to actions to sell your products, to sell your offers. So sharing client transformations and client case studies are so versatile and can be applied to any niche, and they're one of the things that I love the most.
And would you say like there's a certain number that they should have? Like, is there a certain format to that, regardless of the product? Is it, what would be a format, would you say?
The format, well, what I would say is I always tell people to not overdo it. So say if you're just put as much information as you can to keep the amount of stories you're posting throughout the day succinct. So say for example, I can give a number, but that number is not exactly a rule. I like to post from 3 to 6 stories a day. If you go above that, if you have a good reason, of course, that's fine. But the more you post, the less views you're going to get because the retention rates get lower. But I think the most important thing in terms of format for any sequence is that chronologically or even in the order that you are layering the facts, it makes sense. So I want to see, for example, you starting with the problem and then going into why that problem is impacting people and then going into the solution, for example. What I don't want to see is you starting with the problem, then going into hinting the solution, then talking about the problem again, then talking about how it's impacting so many people, and never finishing and never going into a flow that makes sense. That is the most important thing in storytelling in general.
That it has a start, a middle, and an end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And just circling back to the strategies side of things. And so, say with the strategies for those foundations, and they are happy now to sell, what else would you say they need to build on to do that then?
When it comes to Instagram stories and
And
sorry.
if we stay on the Instagram stories, in terms of those strategies for selling, is there anything more to build on with that?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So once we start adding the sequences, we can really get creative with the types of things that we are adding to them. So we can talk about client case studies, we can talk about testimonials, we can talk about our own life stories, life experiences. I have a client, for example, from Sis that uses a lot of gamification. So she plays lots of games with her audience. You can get so creative, and the more creative you get today on social media, the better the results you're going to get. Because what's happening is there's such a content saturation out there that the people that can think outside the box and bring these unusual ways of selling, unusual ways of communicating with their audience, are always going to see better results. But of course, beyond that, we can also tap into the very specific sales strategies that exist since a long time. For example, generating exclusivity, scarcity, demand for showing demand, using maybe other people that could potentially give you a boost on what you're saying. Say if a client is sharing a story about your product, if you can ask them if they can share it in your stories and create a sequence around that. So there are a lot of classic sales strategies that we can use, combined with storytelling and then combined with that creative side.
Are you ready to scale your e-commerce store? Want to do it without having to wear yet another hat and become a digital marketing expert? This episode is brought to you by Neon Digital Clicks, the paid traffic partner for family and women's e-commerce brands wanting to scale their stores from five-figure to six-figure months using Meta, Google, and Klaviyo marketing services. Neon is offering listeners a free scaling audit worth £3,000. So whether your sales have plateaued or you're looking for growth, this is a great opportunity to lift the lid on your business and identify where the opportunities are hiding. Head to scalingglow.com to discover just how much revenue you could scale your store to this year.
And you mentioned there about gamification. Is that getting people involved in polls and that kind of thing to boost engagement, or what kind of gamification was that client using?
Any type of gamification that we use online always means that people need to do something in order to get something. right? So we just make it fun. In terms of that client really goes above and beyond. Every day they are using a different type of gamification. So one day they are, because they own a juice bar, and they ask their clients, for example, to pick what they're going to eat for the day, or what kind of juices they're going to drink for the day. Or they ask clients to guess what juice that is. Sometimes they create new recipes and they ask clients to help them create new recipes. So all of that involvement, that real and genuine participation of the audience, really helps them achieve consistent sales from their stories.
And what mistakes are you seeing people make in their story? Other than the being hopping around and not having a beginning, middle, and end, what kind of mistakes are you seeing?
How much time do you have? Honestly, this is what I see the most. People sharing their posts to their stories with those big stickers saying new posts, those testimonials out of context with a bunch of like, there's 5 stars, the photo of the person, and then like a full paragraph talking about the experience that they had. Photos out of context, just completely out of context, just a random photo of me doing something, and great start of the day with Joanne. Like, who's Joanne? What are you doing? You know, so there are so many mistakes that, but they all root in the same mistake, I believe, which is the lack of context, not giving enough context to your audience. Yeah, and this is why we start actually. Lesson number one of selling with Instagram story sequences is all about, okay, here's what we're gonna stop doing from now on.
So not having the context, not having part being it part of a story. I mean, I've seen there's a couple of things that I've seen that have worked well for people in terms of helping grow their accounts, and that's resharing other people's stories and, you know, putting the comments on them and that. Doing those as one-offs, or should they be a context, part of a context as well?
It all depends on how you share them. If you are sharing, say for example, if a client shared something about your product, they're using your product or something like that, first analyze that story and see if it has context. If it doesn't, you're going to have to add some context to it. But what I always tell people to do is to add some sort of comment on top to show the reason why you're sharing that story. So you could say, here's Anna using our brush today, or something like that. Anna just bought our brush today and is already loving it. Just to explain to your followers that are not that person's followers why you are sharing that story that has somebody that they don't know.
I was more kind of talking about, say, if you've got a brand and their audience is similar to another person's brand and you're resharing their products rather than you're not selling yours, you're resharing theirs. And it's bringing, so you're hoping then that they're going to reshare your comment or your story of their story to increase their audience. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see, I see. And that's actually a strategy that exists. I have actually taken other courses that talk about this strategy. I would say this can work, but at the same time, it makes you lose your own reach. But it can work if you do it strategically. Rather than just talking about their products, you need to include something about yourself, because just the fact that you're going to appear in someone's account doesn't mean that that their audience is immediately going to follow you. So say for example, if I bought a phone, instead of me saying talking about how that phone is so good, you need to be talking about how you're using that phone for your day-to-day, what you're achieving with it, what you're doing, and try to include some credibility in it or something that makes people curious enough to want to follow you.
And talking about reaching that right audience, how can people reach the right audience if they're growing their accounts?
Definitely not with Instagram stories, because, right, Instagram stories are sent to your warmest audience, so the people that are already in your world. But then what I always recommend is to use Reels. I know a lot of people, and I know there have been studies done that Reels have reduced in reach, and they have, and that the reach now is very similar to static posts. But what I always say is static posts are far more likely to go to your current audience, and Reels are far more likely to go to strangers, because simply because of the Reels tab, right? there's the Reels tab there, which only has people you don't know ready to discover you. So if you want to reach your ideal audience, you need to understand your ideal audience and create content that speaks to them in a Reels format. That is my number one recommendation. And then you can start exploring with static posts and carousels and whatnot. But for reach, for pure reach, Reels for sure.
And so if you were starting a product business, new account, where would your focus be? Would your focus be on Reels first, then carousels? Or would, I mean, I know it should be a mix, I suppose, but in terms of you were starting a new product business, where would your focus be from a content point of view?
That's a very good question, because I appreciate your comment that when you say it should be a mix, because I don't believe that everybody fits into a content mix. I am one of the few content people that will not force you to create all types of content out there, because I do believe that because of the way the algorithm works, whereas if you like Reels and all you watch is Reels, you're only going to be sent more Reels. So if all of a sudden you start posting carousels, you're essentially alienating your audience, unless your strategy is to reach a whole new people that like static posts. However, if you are a brand new account just starting, I would create a good solid base for your account. That is requirement number one for sure. So when I say good solid base, we're not talking just about your bio. We are talking about everything, your link in bio, all that structure of your link in bio inside it, your photo, which a lot of people ignore. Your photo is the first thing people are going to see, your highlights, and the first three pinned posts to your profile, as well as having a good solid understanding of hashtags, what you're going to be using for your captions, and how the platform works in general. Because without all those things, what could happen is you might just be wasting a lot of precious time creating content that people might not, that it might not be reaching its full potential simply because the profile isn't helping. Your profile isn't supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I would definitely focus on Reels and even trying to get the word out there, depending on the person's budget, whether if you can do some influencer marketing or something like that, maybe some competitions with other businesses, going live, collaborating. Those are always great strategies to get a new account discovered.
And you mentioned there about your first three pins. And I've been following you recently and noticed that you talked about what those first three pins should be, because people kind of do random things, or they might pin the one that has the most followers or the most likes or the most what views, if you know what I mean. So what is your recommendation of those first three pin posts? What should they be?
I'm so happy you asked this, because between us and the people that are watching this, I'm actually preparing in April. So if you're watching this past April, you're in luck. I'm actually preparing a brand new course. It's going to be like low ticket, like super, super accessible for everybody to optimize your profile so people can stop losing the potential of their content, right? And one of the things that we talk about is pinned posts. So what I recommend for pinned posts is the very first pinned post that you should have on your profile is something that talks about you. So who you are, what you're all about, maybe even why you started your business. Talk about you. Show people that you are more than just the content that you were posting. That, you know, there is a real person behind that business or a real team. Get personal, get vulnerable. That's the moment for it. You want to build connection. Then on the second post that we're going to be pinning, I really like to pin a freebie. Offer a freebie to your audience, because accounts that have a freebie are far more likely to be followed than accounts that don't. People see an immediate benefit from following that person. So of course, you're going to have a much bigger chance to get the follow. And then on the third post that you're going to be pinning, I like to pin the latest and greatest thing from your account. So if you are launching an offer, say this could be seasonal, if you have a Valentine's offer, a Mother's Day offer, always that latest and greatest, or maybe a new freebie, you know, pin it the very first thing on your profile. So that should be the exact order that you should be pinning so that they appear in that order.
And so for product businesses, their freebie might be the 10% off their when you sign up for their email.
Uh-huh.
So they might not necessarily have, unless they've created a PDF as a lead magnet to help them. So if they're a yoga brand, and it might be top 10 meditation exercises or something like that, you know, as I think a lot of a lot of product businesses ignore that freebie outside of the discount, you know. But so I think that's definitely one for them to have.
Uh-huh.
And last, and this is not about carousels or about stories, but one of the questions I wanted to ask you, because I was recently part of a class that you did, a launch that you did for one of your programs, was your use of SMS marketing in that launch, which was very, very good. It was brilliant in terms of how you connected with the people for a launch. And obviously we're talking about product businesses here, but if we can just talk a little bit about SMS marketing and how you found that, what results you saw from that, and how product businesses could use SMS marketing with their launches or with new products and introductions. And if you're able to kind of chat about that, I know I've got a bit off the hook in terms of asking you about it, but it would be great if you could share how beneficial you found it for recent launches.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it falls into that category of creative marketing, because the more outside of the box you go, the better results you're going to get. So for me, this works great. SMS marketing works great. But maybe for product businesses, they will find other things that also work great. What I've been seeing, though, that, you know, I think this is a trend, is that email marketing is becoming harder and harder, just like anything else. Email marketing still has a great return on investment. However, with new regulations and, you know, Gmail's constantly sending emails to the promotions tab and people not even looking at them, there are a lot of businesses that are missing opportunity and missing communications because they're not being able to reach their audience. So SMS marketing is something that right now is still bringing a lot of potential, you know, if you do it well, if you do it moderately, because you don't want to overwhelm people as well. Say if you're doing a launch, you have a very targeted season where you're sending the SMSs, and then after the launch, that's it, you know, boundaries, because nobody wants to get harassed online. And harassment could come from emails, SMS, social media, whatever it is. But anything that brings a better connection with your audience, for example, chat automations on Instagram as well, there is so much potential there to build a one-to-one relationship after that chat automation is done, to keep the name of the person, to follow up with that lead. And this is the beauty of using these alternative methods of communication, because all of a sudden you can open a conversation with them. Whereas email marketing is a lot harder because it's a lot more regulated. It's a lot, how do I say, more mass work than these other strategies.
Yeah, and it's more effort, I think, as well from the receiver to open up, you know, everyone's always on their phone. Do you know what I mean? So to answer a text message, you see a text message. And I often get marketed to from some product businesses. Not every day, but like every week, I can see there's a text message. I do need to silence it because I don't buy from them anymore. But it is that it is, I think, great as a reminder. And I think particularly if you're launching a product and you've signed up to that and that you want to build that hype up to launch, I think that it's a great way to kind of get that audience and that interest going. Meg, thank you so much for chatting with us today. How can people work with you and where can I find you?
Absolutely. So I am on Instagram at Talk to May. So May is May. So Talk to May all together. And if you go there, there's also on my pinned posts, there is a free masterclass on Instagram stories. If you want to get a taster of everything we talked about today, you know, it's called the 10 commandments of Instagram stories. And I teach you 10 great strategies that you can start using right now for your stories. So that is the best way to get in touch with me. And then of course, from there, you can send me a DM or send me an email at may@talktomay.com. And I'll be happy to support you.
Hey, thank you so much. And I will be back again next week with another great guest.
Thank you so much, Nicole. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Start, Scale, Succeed. If you've enjoyed today, I would love for you to leave a review, and I will see you again next week. If you'd like to hear more from me, your host, Nicole Higgins, you can follow me on Instagram at The Buyer and Retail Coach. Check out my website, www.buyerandretailcoach.com, or find me on LinkedIn. All the links are below in the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, The Step, for lots of helpful tips and advice.